This is Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5, the most comprehensive racing report on the radio. From the dirt to the dragway, from karts to NASCAR, if it's racing, it's covered. Here's our host, racetrack announcer and race car driver Kane, with a Full Throttle Racing report.
And good morning, it's Saturday, 8:06, and it is a race day around the world, man. Lots of good racing still coming on, and we've got lots of great stories today. Snowball Derby, it's as simple as that. Welcome to the Full Throttle Racing Hour, brought to you by Mobile International Speedway, Five Flags Speedway, Sunny South Raceway, and Dewey's Competition Head Service at Government and Butler and Mobile. Whether you've got a show car, a drag car, a vintage, or a late model, even a bomber, he can make them fast. Ask BJ Latham, the winner from the Snowball Derby. So, big show. A lot of people have been talking about this show on Facebook. We're going to talk about safety. We're going to talk a lot about that with some of the folks. Matt Weaver standing by, NASCAR expert with About.com and editor with Popular Speed, going to be on talking everything Snowball Derby starting Thursday morning. And then Thursday night, a lot of you guys know Red Dog Lee Reynolds was at the Snowball Derby, involved in a horrific accident that left him in a medical coma and life support for a short time. He is at home, he's resting, and he's got a message for the fans, and he's going to talk a little bit about safety as well, and really take us through what his experience was like and how that's changed his thought process on racing. Kerner Kaufman is a friend of mine and a USFD Racing teammate. USFD Racing, we race to bring awareness and funds to volunteer fire departments, and these are a lot of the guys that are at the fire or at the racetracks, and they're your first responders. Kerner was one of the first guys here trying to help get Red Dog Lee Reynolds on or out of the car, and I was very vocal on Facebook this week about why did Five Flag Speedway not have the jaws of life there. So what he did yesterday, and we're going to get a report on this at the fire department, he used the jaws of life on some bars and see if that would be the right tool to have. I know he talked about the NASCAR K&N series. When they come in to Five Flag Speedway, they have purpose-built emergency equipment to get people extracted from cars quicker. He's got a great report on safety. And then Robbie Bobby McClendon, more action at the Five Flag Speedway, January 3rd, going to talk the first annual Sweat Hog Grand Prix. Listen to this. You got 40 cars, front-wheel drive, two-hour endurance race, $1,000 to win, oval and road course. And the coolest thing about this is they're going to take 40 cars, and they want them crazy. Put all sorts of cool things on there. I wish I could tell you what Robbie Bobby done to his car. Let's just say bigger is better when you're talking ornaments. So let's talk. I know it's crazy. Matt Weaver comes in now with the Snowball Derby and everything that has to go with the Derby. That is one of your favorite races of the year. What a crazy weekend. We talk about starting Saturday at the track. A lot of us there at 9 o'clock in the morning. We left at 4:30 in the morning, got an hour nap, and we did it again. Morning, brother.
Morning, Kane. You know, I feel really depressed because... Yes, the Snowball Derby is my favorite event of the year. It only comes once a year, and, you know, I really feel this way in that first weekend after the Derby, the depression starts to settle in. It's like, man, the Derby is a year away, and, you know, there's that big race coming up in Daytona in February, but who cares? It's not the Derby.
That's right.
There's
that's
another
right.
big one in May in Indianapolis. I'll be there, too, but it's not the Derby either, and so... I'm sitting here just wondering, man, I'm so depressed. Let's talk the Derby.
As we could do that. What an amazing weekend. Weather was a big part Saturday, but it starts off Thursday in the bomber race. They had so many cars all weekend long. People were pitting outside, including with the Kane Motorsports, Matt Jackson. We were out in the sand. But what were your thoughts on the Thursday performance in the bomber class?
Well, what I will say is that I'm so glad that those two divisions, the bombers and the sportsmen, are a part of the Derby festivities, because the racing for those two divisions are always so wonderful.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll just be honest, I think the sportsmen is probably the best class in racing per entertainment, mm-hmm. you know, across all of racing. I love our local sportsman guys. So to be able to come back home and take in the racing in those mm-hmm. two divisions each year, because I've kind of gotten further away from it as I've started to do more NASCAR and do more IndyCar, it's always good to come back home and watch those divisions race, because those guys, they go completely after it. They leave nothing on the table, and that's what you want to see.
Well, and obviously, BJ Latham, who at one time in 2014 won 19 straight races between Pensacola and Mobile, second year in a row, he led all 30 laps and takes home the Snowball Derby.
Yeah, you know, what an amazing season he's had. He put the punctuation on it there at the Derby, like I think many of us expected him to do. And, you know, you kind of expected it, given the year that he had, that he was going to go to the Derby and do exactly what he did.
Second place, got to give props to our driver from Kane Motorsports. You know, he started eighth, got up to fourth after red flag, kept moving up. And I think five more laps, we could have had the Derby, but great run from Matt Jackson.
You know, it's always how these races pan out. You can look at one or two guys who you can make a case for the class of the field. And, you know, it usually comes down to saving your equipment. And I think, you know, Latham, as he's done all year, you know, showed that veteran experience and then knows those tracks, knows these cars. And I think he saved his car for when he needed to, and he won the race.
Yeah, third place, congratulations to Colin Kraft. Again, Rick Crawford's son did a great job out there as well. Now we move into one of the races that was just one of the most we remember it. There you go. I'll spit it out.
Mark, easy for you.
Yeah, no kidding, man. Is this guy in radio? Jeez. You know, Mark Barnhill had a great season already, won the race, but before he got into that, there was just a horrific accident, Red Dog Lee Reynolds. I remember we were in Tech, going through Tech, and you heard a big foom. And then there was a red flag, and I'm like, oh, wow. And then the rumors started showing up. Hey, Red Dog was in that wreck. Is he okay? I don't know. He's not out of the car yet. And what a terrible situation for him.
You know, it's a very chilling reminder about the mortality of racing. Now, fortunately, this situation turned out as good as it could have. You know, Red Dog's still with us. I am so relieved. Mm. That he is going to be on the show today, and everything turned out as well as it could have. Mm-hmm. You know, lost the car, my God. But, you know, I think to me what stands out is that we're in NASCAR talking about the safety of the teams and safety of the drivers, and we're trying to make the Gen 6 car healthier and safer, and we're looking at soft walls.
Yeah.
And I don't think enough attention is given by NASCAR, is given by track promoters to make these racetracks as safe as they could be for the local guys.
Is it a question about cost?
NASCAR could really do a service to the short track guys by putting soft walls on some of these tracks that they have, some of their regional and touring events, like Pensacola, and I think that it would go a long way to have a safer barrier in Pensacola and have NASCAR do it, because it's their way of saying, we're giving back to the short track guys. We're giving back to our bread and butter, our grassroots. And certainly that probably wouldn't have helped Red Dog at all, but I think that anything that NASCAR can do to give back to the local short track grassroots community, they should take every opportunity to do so.
Yeah. Now, Mark Barnhill won the race, but was disqualified. And I've heard a few different things. One of the things was something about a steering box, and then also heard front suspension parts were moved. But regardless, Barnhill had a great season, but unfortunately didn't get to take the win. So how about the double zero? Again, Brandon Fowler's had a pretty decent year. He had a solid way to end the year this year.
You know, I haven't been as close to the local racing here this year as I have been in years past, just because of my schedule. But, you know, those are certainly the names that come to mind when I think of that division over the past couple of years. I mean, obviously you think of Steve, and you think of Barnhill, and you think of Chad a couple of years ago at Mobile when he really had that big run of 10 or so wins. I didn't come down with a championship, but gave it a great little run. You know, it goes back to what I was saying earlier. I think the sportsman division is the highlight of my Derby week, just as a pure racing fan perspective, because I know that's probably going to be one of the best races of the year. And one of the things that I'm really most excited about is that with Speed 51 doing the TV deal this year, you know, those two races were kind of overlooked.
Yeah.
But I told people who ordered the week-long broadcast, I'm like, I know you don't know who these guys are, I know you're not familiar with their names, but trust me when I say you're going to get a quality racing show.
Yeah.
You don't need to know the names, just know that you're going to be entertained. And I think certainly that turned out to be the case on Thursday.
Yeah, and Friday, Donnie Hamrick takes his second in a row for the Open Wheel Modifieds. He's had a good year, Brandon Morris, also with the Superstocks, and we're going to blow through Friday. It was a great racing, obviously. Again, a lot of action, but Saturday was one of the longest days I've ever been at the racetrack, and for the first time in the history of the Snowball Derby, the Snowflake and the Snowball Derby were technically run on the same night as it started, I believe, around 3 o'clock in the morning.
Well, they were technically started within hours of each other in reality. What a long, long day. And, you know, I said a few years ago when they decided to add the trucks to the schedule, I was very happy they did so. Mm-hmm. I thought those guys deserved to be recognized in the same way that every other division deserves to be recognized. But I was worried that it would create kind of a logistical flaw in the schedule. And certainly, I think we saw the worst-case scenario of that on Saturday, and that all it took was two very brief rain showers to really disrupt the flow of the event. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like you said, it kept us there till, about 5:30 in the morning once we got done with post-race. But, you know, the thing that sticks out to me is, you know, Bubba Pollard won the Snowflake 100, but that was the easiest tech inspection process Brooks has ever given to anyone in racing.
He was probably tired. Yep, tires are good. Go on. And, you know, give props to Chopper Stagner as well in that truck race. Again, 34 trucks started, and I think maybe 17 finished, and there was one truck I remember going down the back or the front straightaway into two, started smoking. I'm like, well, that doesn't look good. And then it looked like ice. They had, you know, five, six, seven trucks. It looked like a Talladega wreck going into one and two, and that was another red flag. But Steve Chopper Stagner, again, delivered a great race in his tribute to breast cancer. And as much as we do with childhood cancer, it's great to see other teams like Stagner there doing his help as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Just a crazy race. I mean, we got to a certain point. It took 2 hours, 10 minutes, by the way. 2 hours, 10 minutes to run 40 laps of truck racing. Me and my photographer, who had long since given up the ghost of taking pictures, came back up to the turn 1 and 2 grandstand where I was watching the race. And it got to a certain point where we just kind of looked at each other with every caution, and we're like,
really?
Oh, dear.
Well, and then it all comes up. Even though we only had an hour and a half of sleep, we're talking with Matt Weaver again with Popular Speed. It's finally here, the 47th Annual Snowball Derby, and how about a great run? My pick had problems. Accidents, they had a terrible wreck in Turn 1 and 2 where there was a fire involved with Bubba Pollard's car. And the worst part about that was they didn't get the shutoff on the fuel system off on one of the cars, number 45. I forget the driver's name. The driver actually had to go back, and you have to take the deck lid off the back of the car to shut the fuel off. Some cars have shutoffs inside the cars. Is that something that should be changed for situations like that?
No, I'm not the most technical savvy when it comes to the construct of these cars, so I would have to defer that type of question to Ricky or one of the drivers. But I can tell you more about that situation. That was Chad Finley. Chad drove a very, I wouldn't say an aggressive race, but he drove a hard race, and as a result, he kind of got on the bad side of two of our local champions, Mike Garvey and Bubba Pollard. Yeah. Chad Finley was at the center of the conflict in both incidents. Yeah. But if you go back and look at the replay, I'm really hard-pressed to blame Chad for either one of them. The one with Garvey was, Garvey was racing Chad pretty hard, too, and Chad felt like it was way too early, lap 14 or so, to be racing that hard. And Chad said that he was racing hard just to get away, and it resulted in a little bit of contact with the one, and then Garvey ended up in the wall. And then when you go back and look at the replay of him and Bubba, Bubba drove in too hot. That's just the reality of it. Bubba drove in way too hot, lost it from under Chad, and collected both he and Bubba into the wall. And, of course, Chad's car caught fire, and just a pretty ugly deal. I was worried that it was going to eat into the track and eat into the wall, but luckily track officials were able to get there in time to limit the damage. But it was a great visual from a storytelling perspective, if nothing else.
Well, and if you go on to Facebook, I was right on the scene with a lot of these since I'm the track reporter there, Full Throttle Racing. You've got great videos and photos from up close from Thursday all the way through there. If you couldn't ask for a better winner, though, John Hunter Nemechek shows the true emotion of a winner in victory lane, gives me chills thinking about how he was bawling, he was crying, he was so happy. You just don't get to see that all the time.
No, you don't. And I'll tell you another reason why I think this was a very special win. They were not going to accept anything less than a win last weekend. This victory had been pretty much a year and a half in the making. And talking to Joe Nemechek and their guys before the race, this is a car they've put a lot of time and a lot of effort into. His car chief, Austin Polak, I remember talking to Austin in the infield at Eldora for the truck race on the Tuesday before the practice day. We were talking about the future of their late model program, and Austin told me that they were working on this experimental car that was going to be something you look at and you say, there's no way that passes tech. That it's no way it passes the templates, but it does. And they brought the car, and when you first look at it, number 8, you're like, huh, well, that's interesting. And it passed all the inspection. It fit all the templates. And Austin said they've been working on that car for about a year and a half. And they would have liked to have brought it out sooner than the Derby, but they put so much time and effort into it. The Derby was the first place where they could really go out there and put it through the paces. And lo and behold, that car wins the Snowball Derby. So, again, a year and a half in the making. Wow. And mission accomplished.
There's a great photo on John Hunter Nemechek's Facebook page if you look it up, and he says, well, my crew chief was going to say they were going to put the car in a glass case, and they kind of did that, and they actually park it in the garage with caution tape all around it. I love that. So, well-deserved, and Matt, you've done a great job. Final thoughts as we move on.
Well, this is just the greatest event in the country. You know, considering what resources that Tim and Bryant, Tim Bryant and Pat Bryant, have to work with here at Five Flag Speedway in Pensacola, I think they continue to astound and impress not only me, but the entire racing world for what sort of event they can promote given those resources. And, you know, I'm going to send out the podcast later to all of the friends of mine who listen nationally, but I would urge all of you guys to come down to the Derby at least once, because once you commit to going to it once, you'll come and you'll never quit coming. It's the best event in racing, and I was glad to play whatever tiny role that I do in being a part of that event, and I look forward to it each year.
Well, Matt, we are, again, thankful for everything that you do for the racing community. Really quick, you also, while we got another minute here, you also talked about you had a problem, or not a problem, but you also talked to some of the drivers about the Southern Super Series. And let's leave on that note. What were your thoughts, and what did they say about that particular series?
Well, I never intended to ask about the Southern Super Series, but I was doing a story on the overall costs of super late model racing and what sort of things we can do to try to make it a little bit more affordable for teams to participate again. And there's this new tour that used to be the Hooters Pro Cup Series that's now in the Carolinas and Georgia and Tennessee in that area. They've now split off into a different tour, and one of their tours is a super late model tour like we have in the Southern Super Series, and where our division is 6 tires, 125 laps, they've got 150 laps and 4 tires. And they pay more to win and pay more throughout the field in the Southern Super Series. And so a lot of the drivers brought up to me that, you know, we're looking at the new cars tour because it's giving us everything we wish the Southern Super Series was giving us. They're giving us 4 tires. They're giving us more money. It makes a lot of sense to go run these guys next year. So Bubba Pollard, Casey Roderick, Mike Garvey, those three guys said, you know, well, Garvey is not going to run the Southern Super Series, but Bubba said, I'm still a Southern Super Series guy, and I'm going to, you know, promote them as best as my ability allows. But I'm going to be running these cars races because that's more money, less tires. And I think the Southern Super Series, me, Matt Weaver, I think the Southern Super Series needs to adopt some of these same rules as the cars tours, or they're going to lose cars to the cars tour.
Wow. Well, we'll have to see what happens. Matt, you always do a great job. Enjoy the few days off, because I know we're going to get you back and get ready for that big race down in southern Florida. But you've done a great job for us all year long, and we expect you to do it again next year. And like I always say, hey, the check's in the mail, brother.
Absolutely. I appreciate it, Kane.
All right, there you go. Matt Weaver again doing a great job for us and really catching you up to date on what's next. Well, Red Dog, Lee Reynolds.
Yeah.
He was the one that was involved in that pretty serious accident. He's standing by. Hang on. Hey, welcome back to the show. It's Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5. Later today, we'll podcast the show at usfdracing.org. That's United States Fire Department Racing for the fourth year out on the team with Kannapolis, North Carolina. We bring funds and awareness to volunteer fire departments from all over the world, which is pretty cool stuff there. So if you're a fireman, you want to have a race car there, maybe a fish fry or a fundraiser, look me up at Full Throttle Racing or go to USFD Racing. We'll take care of you. Kurtner Kaufner was one of the first responders involved in the accident with Red Dog Lee Reynolds. He's on the way. Robbie Bobby McClendon talks about the first annual Sweat Hog Grand Prix. 40 cars on the road course and the oval at Five Flag Speedway. It's going to be a lot of fun, but a lot of people have been waiting all week to hear from this man, so I'll bring him in right away. Good morning, Red Dog Lee Reynolds, and like I said, when I picked up the phone and I heard your voice, I said, it sure is good to hear from you.
What's going on, my brother?
It's your boy. Yeah, listen to you. Happy-go-lucky. Wow, man. You know, first of all, it is just such a blessing to hear your voice, like I said, because you had probably one of the worst accidents I've seen in a long time, which you don't remember much of.
Right, yeah. You know, that's, I've heard everybody tell me about it, and I remember pieces of it, but I remember wheel hopping a car and smacking a wall, and that's really about everybody else is what people told me, you know.
Yeah, and the biggest thing is, and what blew me away, is reading on Facebook from your daughter, Janie, it's like, you didn't get any bruises from those belts.
No. You know, it's nice to have good equipment. I mean, you got to cinch them belts tight, you know.
And that's the thing. You know, a lot of people, I was critical of the track, and I wasn't trying to be, but I was pretty upset at the fact that they did not have the Jaws of Life there. And Kurtner Kaufner is a fireman, and he's going to be coming on right after this interview talking about if that piece of equipment would have helped in that particular situation, because you have to cut through the bar. So yesterday he did that at the fire department. We'll see what could have been done. You're completely satisfied, if that's a word you can use, with the way the track took care of you.
Yeah, I mean, I have no complaints. I mean, they've done their job. You know, that was, you know, I hear people talking about how, you know, it took long and this. I mean, that was an ordeal. I mean, you know, from what everybody's been saying, it's not as easy as what people think it is to get somebody out of a car like that. Especially when you're, you know, they said I was just dead weight. Mm-hmm. You know, just sitting there, you know. But I had no, Lord, no, you know, I think Kevin did, you know, I think they did, you know, a wonderful job for, you know, the circumstance.
Yeah, and obviously your car was built pretty tough. You know, the inside structure looked great. So you guys, kudos to that. And I asked you off the air, and we'll go ahead and say it. You've already got a car.
Oh, yeah. I got a, don't nobody know it yet. we just bought it last night. Frank Griffin, BA Motorsports, he purchased a car from Dave Mader for us.
Oh, that's awesome. And I've got a Mader-built bomber, so, you know, those cars. And Dave knows how to do a couple things on those cars, doesn't he?
And man, he's wonderful, ain't he? He is really good. You know, he done all the updates on the cars I had, the one we wrecked. You know, I mean, the cars, you know, it's pretty much toast. But as far as any bars breaking or bending, I mean, it done its job. It done what it's supposed to do.
Do you have any messages for all the fans or anything you want to tell everyone that was concerned about you?
Man, that's one, you know, God, I mean, it goes on and on. I mean, everybody was really wonderful. Everybody was calling, you know, and praying for us. And we needed, you know, everything we could get. I mean, we appreciate everything. You know, like my wife, Rachel, you know, she's always there with me, to, you know, supporting me all these years. I mean, God, man, both my daughters, Janie and Jessica, you know, and then, you know, Janie, she handles all my my public relations.
Yeah, she's good at it.
Oh, yeah. You know, and I got Jeremy Adam to look at graphics. You know, she helps him design his cars, wraps, and he done mine, my T-shirts, and, you know, and, oh, man, I got my three grandsons, a Connor, and Brody, and Tripp, you know, and I just, you know, I'm so proud to be their dad all, you know. It's, you know, but I just really hate that, you know, everybody had to go through all that, you know, you know. You got Eddie Shoemaker, he's the car owner, you know, and then he's also my boss, and he's also my best friend. Yeah. I mean, I just hate putting everybody through that ordeal, you know. But
you're a racer, and it's what you do. Are you ready to climb back in?
Oh, God, yes, you know.
That's my boy!
You know, you can't quit, you know. I mean, if it was easy, everybody would do it.
That's exactly it. Now, we have to talk about safety. You had all your safety equipment on. Janie has brought up something, your daughter, again, and it has blown up all over Facebook, people all over the country talking about the Hans device in our local divisions, Bombers, Sportsmen. I got to give props to a company which we're going to have on next week, Southern Raceway. These guys are coming, and they're going to have, starting at Southern, the first race of the year, and hopefully I'm going to try to talk to Tim Bryant into this, too, and see if we can incorporate it on asphalt. They have a rental program for Hans devices at $30 a night. $30 a night. You know, these things are anywhere from $600 on up. You can find them for about $500. But when you talk about safety, do you feel if you would have had a Hans device on, would it have been less of a stressful ordeal for everyone involved?
I really do. I'll have one before I go ever. You know, I've already been told from...
people telling you, you're not getting in a car without a Hans, son.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, my wife, Janie, all my friends, my boss, everybody's told me, you know, we will have one.
Yeah.
You know, the only, my neck, you know, I had everything that was required.
Yeah.
You know, I had my little neck, but everything done its job, but my neck was really, really hurt. Mm-hmm. And, well, actually it was my throat, but I really believe if I'd had one, I think it would, you know, I'll have one next time.
Well, and that's the thing, and before I get into a car in February in the vintage up at Southern, we're going to have one as well. I think it's just something that a lot of the drivers, especially when an accident like this happens, and not just at our track, but we've got friends. I've got almost 5,000 friends on Facebook. They're all racing fans, and they've been chiming in, and, hey, at our track up here in Nashville, you've got to run it, and all this, that, and the other. Do you feel that it should be a rule that you have to run some kind of better neck restraint than a $35 or a $25 piece of foam that goes around your neck?
You know, that's really, you know, I can say yes now because I've been through this.
Right.
You know, I raced for 30 years and I've never had this happen. You know,
right.
And it's, you know, that's a lot of money. And but you know, as far as like, you know, if they had it where you could rent it, I would say yes.
Yeah.
You know, but it's just it's safety. Everybody. That's the area you do. Everybody wants to frown on and spend less money on a race car because it don't make you go fast.
Yeah, but it saves your life.
Oh yeah.
Well, the most important thing is like you said, you're okay. You've got a brand new car. You've got a lot of long weekends to work on it, I'm sure.
Later does.
Hey, Dave, you listening, brother? You better get out into the shop.
He's out there right now as we speak, actually.
That's what I figure. Well, I'm coming to see him after this anyway. So, Red Dog, again, it's just such a great, great feeling to hear your smiling voice through the phone. And one more time, what do you have to say to the fans?
Man, I just want to tell everybody thank you. You know, we really love y'all. We had so much love coming in. It was in prayers. It was unreal.
You can feel them, can't you?
Oh man, you can feel them. You know, it really, you know, it's just speechless. Really, I mean, you know, hey, I got a couple of people like Scott Shuttlesworth. Man, me and him grew up together. Mm. I've known him he was my childhood best friend, and still is. You know, he was at the hospital with me the whole time, and you know. Oh my God! I mean, you got Chad and Patrick, and I mean Roger and Wesley Barnhill, Howard and Jonathan Langham. I mean Dave Mader, and man, just everybody. And I really want to thank Charlie Ferguson Jr. Man, did he left Pensacola and took my car all the way back to Mobile.
Wow!
And then turned around and went back to Pensacola, and that was awesome. You know, just oh man, just everybody, you know, just.
Well,
I can't thank everybody enough.
Well, we look forward to seeing you back in that car for sure with that Hans device, brother.
Oh, my God, yes.
Well, you have a blessed Christmas because I know it's going to be real special for you this year.
All right, thank you.
All right, there you go. You got it. Red Dog Lee Reynolds again. What a great interview. And again, it's just so awesome. I get chills on my arm to think that where he was just over a week ago and where he's at now. A little sore, already got a new car, and Mater's out there working on it now. You got to love that. Still to come, Kerner Kaufman is next with USFD Racing. He was one of the first people on the site. We're going to talk about what he saw, and we're going to test the theory on some of the things that I thought the track should need. I might be proven wrong. That wouldn't be the first time. Hang on. Hey, welcome back to the show. It's Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you so much to Mobile International Speedway, Five Flags Speedway, Sunny South Raceway, and Dewey's Competition Head Service at Government and Butler. Dewey does amazing work on motors. Whether you have a go-kart, a lawnmower, all the way up to a super late model, those vintage cars, the bombers, or sportsmen, he can find that horsepower, I'm telling you. And you'll pass tech. It's legal. Yeah, it's a gray area. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, go see Dewey and the boys. Still to come, we've got Robbie Bobby McClendon talking about that first annual Sweat Hog Grand Prix. That's going to be a really cool race coming up January 3rd. And I know a guy who's actually looking for one of those cars, Kerner Kofta with USFD Racing, my teammate as well as a racer in the bomber class. Good morning, Kerner. How are you, brother?
Hey, I'm doing good, Kane. How are you doing today, man?
Hey, thank you so much. You know, I wanted to have Kerner on because Kerner was on the scene, one of the first responders. Tell us your day job.
I actually work for the fire department here in Escambia County.
Yeah, and you're a racer, a good friend, and you were one of the first responders on the scene. What can you tell us you saw with Red Dog Lee Reynolds wreck Thursday night?
Well, Kane, I was actually standing on top of Mike Garvey's hauler. I was helping the 77 Sportsman car. Mm-hmm. I saw Red Dog's accident happen. Being that I wasn't a track official or anything like that, I kind of waited a little bit before I went over to the accident scene. Once I saw that Red Dog, you know, needed help out of the car and, you know, there was issues, I went over there to see if I could help, which, right. In fact, they pulled me up there and they said, yeah, we need you.
Mm-hmm.
I know we've talked a little bit about extrication tools and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I know when I got up in the car with Red Dog, he was quite out of it.
Yeah.
You know, he wasn't really saying anything and, mm-hmm. you know, I could tell he was hurt.
Yeah.
They already had the roof cut by the time I got over there to start pulling Red Dog out.
Mm-hmm.
Had we had extrication tools, it might have helped a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I know on a sportsman car, a lot of the metal's already thinned out, things are hollowed out. Always have to have good tools, regardless if we're using Sawzall or extrication tools or cutters.
That's my thing, and I'm not being critical of the track. Tim's a good friend. I race at both tracks. Work for Tim as an announcer. But, you know, when I had my wreck a few years ago at Mobile International because of that wreck, and I hit the turn four wall at about 80 miles an hour head-on going through oil, they now extended those front bars for protection, and they also now have the Jaws of Life at Mobile. That's what I've been told. And so is it something to where I wanted you to check? I wanted you to see, would the Jaws of Life or something like that would have helped that situation? What did you find out?
I talked to one of the representatives that works for TNT, which is the company that makes a lot of extrication tools, especially the tools in Escambia County.
Mm-hmm.
And I spoke with him on the matter and told him, you know, look, if I have a race car with the roll cage in it, I gave him the specs, which is an 1¾-inch pipe.
Yeah.
It's got 0.095-inch thickness of metal.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, if I get a Jaws of Life or the cutters and go to cut that metal, will it do it? He said, absolutely. He mm-hmm. said, your standard cutters that are on a fire truck will cut it.
Mm-hmm.
The problem you run into is when it goes to cut the metal, it's going to crush it before it cuts it.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to crush it down to a flat surface, and then it'll start cutting through it. They've got a tool that they call a combination tool, which has a little point on it, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
That point will pierce the metal and then cut it smooth.
Mm-hmm.
It won't crush anything and cause any other metal to bend. none of the trucks in Escambia County carry combination tools because we're just really outfitted for a race car accident.
So is there an opportunity, cost factors ungodly, I don't see a track locally paying for that to have it on there, what would be the best thing besides having Sawzalls at the track to try to extricate somebody?
I mean, it depends on your race car. A lot of bomber cars, yeah, it'd probably be good to have extrication tools.
Mm-hmm.
They're more of a street car and things like that. Yes, we have front bars, rear bars and all, but we can't take as much
out.
We can't gut the cars as much as another Class 10. Sportsman car, if you have the right equipment, everything's working right,
mm-hmm.
it's easy to do roof flap, what they wound up doing the other night on Red Dog's car.
Yeah, yeah.
when you go into cutting the roll cage and things like that, in the medical field and the fire department field and all, we have something that's called a golden hour.
Mm-hmm.
And that leads to the patient that's in the vehicle. With Red Dog, when we got to him and he was, you know, unconscious and he looked pretty bad.
Yeah.
We were more worried about getting the KED, which is what we put on him to protect his spine and his neck,
yeah,
and everything. We could have taken the time and probably cut the roll cage and stuff like that and made it easier for us to get into.
But you were on a time crunch, weren't you?
Yes, we were on a time crunch because of the condition that we thought Red Dog was in, just by the way he was. I don't want to sound bad, but the way his body was acting.
Yeah,
just out of it. He just took a hard hit.
Yeah.
So by putting this KED on him, we all thought that was the quickest way to get that on him and get him out of the car. It still took a little bit, but it would have taken twice as much if we would have used the jaws of life and had to cut all the sidebars out of the car, cut the door, or the door was already off the car, but cut the sidebars off, cut the door plate out, and then start pulling them out of the seat that way.
Right.
By putting that KED on him, we were able to put it on him, get a whole bunch of people around him, and lift him straight up, you know, through the halo of the car and bring him out of the roof.
And obviously you guys did a great job. Red Dog, you just heard him a few minutes ago, happy and thrilled, and he said, hey, we're not bashing the track here. I said, absolutely not. They did a great job. My only question is, beyond that, more safety, like the Hans device. I think it's important. I think every driver should try to budget that in, and if you can't afford it, you shouldn't be racing. I mean, I'm going to go out there and say it. I haven't had one. I'm going to have one before my first race in February. Guarantee it. And, you know, and Kerner, I know you're going to have the same thing in yours. One last thought before we go, because we've still got only about 10 minutes and we need to talk about the race coming up with the Sweat Hog Grand Prix. In your personal opinion, I think they did. Do you think the track staff did everything in their possible and their power to get Red Dog out quickly? I feel they did a great job.
Absolutely, I do. Any time, whether it's on a racetrack or on the highway or the interstate, and we have a wreck like that where we have to cut somebody out, it's going to take time, obviously, because a race car's got a roll cage built into it. A street car is all crushed up and everything.
Yeah.
We all have to put our heads together and basically in a professional manner and figure out, you know, what the best way and quickest way to get the person out to get them the treatment they needed. I feel that, you know, Steve McNair on the safety truck, he leads that operation up, and the EMS crew and all, they put their heads together and they thought quick, and, you know, we don't question what the boss says.
That's right.
He says, do it this way. So I really think that they made the best decision on getting Red Dog out of that car as quick as we could.
Well, thank you for your input. And again, I can't wait to see you back on the track. You did a great job. You're doing God's work out there as a fireman. And I appreciate your support, brother.
Hey, not a problem, Kane. Thanks for everything you do. And, you know, I'm glad Red Dog is still around. And, you know, his injuries weren't as bad as they could have been.
There you go, Kerner Kafka. And coming up next, we're going to go ahead and talk more racing at Five Flag Speedway. Stand by. Hey, welcome back to the show. It's Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5, always brought to you by a great group of folks in Mobile International Speedway, Five Flags Speedway, also Sunny South Raceway, and Dewey's Competition Head Service. Without those guys, hey, we wouldn't have the show on, so we're so thankful. Thank you to Matt Weaver, NASCAR expert at About.com and editor with Popular Speed, giving us all a rundown from the Snowball Derby. Red Dog Lee Reynolds. Again, what a joy it was to hear his voice on the show this morning. Thank you to Kerner Kaufman. Yes, you did everything great, man. We appreciate you answering the questions and talking a little bit about track safety. And now we bring in, this is going to be so cool, he's bringing the circus, Bobby McLennan, talks about the first annual Sweat Hog Grand Prix, 40 cars, front wheel drive. But hey, you know what? Guess what? The motorcycles are also racing in this thing. Good morning, Robbie. Welcome to the show, brother.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me again. We're looking forward to a great event.
You know, it was so funny. We had so many people talking about the Snowball Derby at the Derby, but I had a lot of people come up to us at the Vintage Cars. What's a Sweat Hog Grand Prix I keep hearing about? Boy, I tell you what, this is going to be exciting. And we were just talking off the air. You got people from multiple states, even from the Midwest, coming to this thing?
Absolutely, yeah. It's blown up way more than I thought it would. I honestly, when we first approached Mr. Bryant with the idea, I was like, all right, a bunch of us local racer guys will be able to all just put together and get some crappy cars and go battle. But this thing's taking off like wildfire. There's a group from Louisiana already signed up. There's a guy from Texas coming. There's even a guy all the way from St. Louis that run. And like he quoted on our Facebook page, he's not driving 12 hours to get thrown out of the deck. So it's blown up, and I couldn't be more happier.
Well, in the next week, I want to have some of the motorcycle guys on. So you guys are going to be running on part of the oval and part of the road course, both the motorcycles and the cars. Is that right?
Correct. Not at the same time.
Right,
but
right. Yeah,
there will be a motorcycle practice session in the morning,
mm-hmm.
and then track's going to go cold, and then we're going to immediately kick off the Sweat Hog, the Grand Prix, and then the motorcycles will come back and do their features afterwards. That way, I don't want to put any priority over anybody else, but, you know, the car race is the crown jewel of the Sweat Hog. You know, it's very prestigious, and there's got to be NASCAR and Formula One scouts in the stands.
I'm sure. And there better be a giant gold pig on the trophy. That's all I'm saying. That's just my suggestion. I love that.
That's a good idea.
Well, what do you I had a question. Stinger driver's been asking me left and right, can we bring our cars? A lot of these guys are driving Saturns. That's a great car to have. Yes, they can, but you have to go back to stock suspension, right?
Correct, yeah. If you look at our Facebook page, you just type in the first annual Sweat Hog Grand Prix. Mm. And the rules are on there by Eager Beaver.
Yeah.
They're the presenting sponsor. So if you find them on there, they're definitely the rules are right there. If anybody needs help, they can call me. But yes, if they've got a legal car, you know, then they're legal. We're not throwing anybody out because their car just has a racing number on it and a roll cage.
Right,
you know,
right.
Roll cages are encouraged, but not mandatory.
Right.
But we do just request, you know, make sure you're legal because we do have tech and, you know, there's actually money on the line. So,
oh, yeah.
You know, don't come there with your hot rod engine and your full race suspension and think that you're going to just cherry pick it because it's not going
to
happen.
And the biggest thing is the race is going to be awesome, but you want to do the wildest and craziest things to your car. We got about a minute left. I wish I could say what I saw in your car, but taller is better, right? What's going on?
Always. We kind of took a rule, page out of the Lemons rule book where we want you to decorate your car up.
Yeah.
There's definitely a $100 beauty contest. So if you can think of something that would just be absolutely silly to make your car stand out, throw it on there. Just make sure it's either bolted, welded, or strapped down so it's not going to fall off during the race.
And there's no height limit, obviously, right?
No height. No height limit. As long as you can get in the track and not hit any power lines, you're good.
Oh, that's so awesome.
And there's a $100 beauty contest bonus on the side. So
I'm really I'm looking forward to this race. It's Saturday, January 3rd. When do the gates open for the fans?
Well, the gates pretty much open at 8 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
The racing will go hot around noon. So
okay.
If fans want to get there and check out the cars or the bikes, then by all means, I'd probably say get there around 10 or 11.
Yeah, and again, what's the Facebook page?
The first annual Sweat Hog Grand Prix.
Well, man, I know you guys are, you got a lot of building to do. 20 of the 40 cars already filled, so we got a couple of weeks, guys, and I know a lot of people looking for these cars. Robbie, I'll talk to you next weekend, and we'll make sure to get you back on the show. And again, this is going to be a great show, a great race. We're thrilled to be a part of it.
Hey, thank you guys very much for having us, and we're looking forward to it, man. I think it's going to be 2 hours of nonstop giggle.
That's it. From the cockpit and the stands. We'll talk to you later, brother.
Thank you, sir. Have a good day.
Absolutely. Again, that's going to be doing it for a great show. Thank you, Matt Weaver, Red Dog Lee Reynolds, also Kerner Kofta, and right there, Robbie Bobby McClendon. Man, again, like I said, put a giant chicken head on it. Go wild with these cars. And, hey, you know what? I know a lot of people looking for these cars. You might be able to make some money if you got a Saturn in the backyard. God bless y'all. We love you, and we will see you next weekend.